5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Digital Dynamite.
Welcome to the Digital Dynamite Radio Show. Today our topic is called What Makes You Dynamite? And we're going to blow your mind.
First, let's introduce our lovely hosts and what their personal talents are. I'm Nancy and I sew.
I'm Cha-Cha Chelsea and I speak Mandarin Chinese.
I'm Watkins and I love writing by hand.
I'm Foxy and I love to voice act.
We're each going to talk about one of our hobbies or talents, which makes us dynamite, how we chose them, when our interests started, and how they've affected us today.
Afterwards, we're going to ask you what makes you inspired to be the person you are. In other words, what makes you dynamite?
First up is Nancy with a story about her fantastic sewing passion. Right now on Digital Dynamite.
I'm Nancy, and I've been sewing since I was young. My grandmother taught me how to sew on her old vintage Singer machine. It's black metal, and it's in this table, and I still have it. I love it, but it doesn't work anymore, so I need to get it fixed. But she taught me to sew when I was really young, like 3 or 4. She'd been sewing most of her life, and she taught me the basics of the machine, and she made me a lot of clothes and stuff. But I didn't really pick up on it until I was older. When I was in middle school, I taught myself to cross stitch and I liked it. It was fun. I was just a weird, like, 12-year-old that was cross stitching, but that was me, whatever. And my mom actually cross stitches, so that might have been part of my influence. I had a machine then, but I didn't use it that much. I didn't really understand it. But then when I was in high school, my grandmother died when I was 16. My senior year of high school, I was looking for something to do, so I took a class called Fashion Technology, and it was basically a sewing class. We didn't do a lot of handwork, but we used machines, and I kind of fell in love with sewing again after that. And it was great. I mean, we did basics. We made, like, a quilt and, like, a teddy bear and a couple of other things. I think a pair of shorts. But I don't know. I kind of wanted to do costumes. I've been a theater kid for years, and I kind of was inspired to do costumes. So I worked a little bit on my high school's costumes, but not that much. When I got to college, I thought about becoming a costumer, and I decided against it, despite my sewing love, because I wanted to stage manage, which, as it turns out, I don't actually really like doing. It's a lot of time, and you don't get to be creative at all, and I'm a creative person. But I was scared of our costumer, so I didn't do any costuming. My freshman year, I did take a class called Costume Instruction, and I loved it. You went in, we did all sorts of fabric modification, and it caused me to fall in love with fabric modification even more. Like, not just sewing, but dyeing. I did tie-dye, I did shibori, I did, like, all sorts of crazy stuff, and I made a ton of really cool clothes. But they weren't truly handmade, they were just dyed and painted. And that was the year I also taught myself how to knit. It's gonna sound weird, but I taught myself to knit with a klutz kit. I just decided one night, I had the thing, and I was like, let me just learn. You know, this will be a cool skill. So I was a knitter and a stitcher and a dyer by the end of my freshman year of college, and I kind of loved it. But I wasn't doing costumes for the theater yet.
Next up is Cha-Cha Chelsea with her amazing ability to speak Mandarin Chinese.
Thanks for the introduction, Foxy. When I tell people I speak Chinese, most of the time their responses are something along the lines of, "That's amazing," or, "I could never learn that." But I firmly believe that the latter is not the case. I was not raised in a bilingual home. And even being half Korean, my mother nor I never learned to speak our native tongue. I never took myself as a language person, because when I did take foreign languages, they never really clicked. And after taking French for 4 years and Spanish for 2, in both high school and middle school, I was all but ready to accept the title of a monolingual speaker. Unless, of course, you count Pig Latin, in which case I was very bilingual. So in my sophomore year in high school, I thought I'd give it one more chance before I totally called it quits on all foreign language fronts. Since my schooling required that I take the language to the second level, I continued to drudge through Spanish, but also enrolled myself in a beginning Chinese level course. When I walked into the class, there was all but 8 other students there. Since this was a new course, not many were looking to throw out all previous years of foreign language to try something completely different. But not me. I was ready for something that had absolutely no roots in anything remotely similar to Romance languages that I had previously taken. I really had no idea what to brace myself for, so I jumped into it head first.
Next is Foxy with the mystery of voice acting.
What's up, y'all? Foxy here on the Dynamite. I like long walks on the beach, but that's not important right now. What is important right now is that I'm a voice actor. For those in the audience who don't know, a voice actor, or voiceover artist, is someone who provides the voice for an animated character. But not just animated characters. Voiceovers are everywhere, from airports to theme parks. My dream is to be a professional voice actor. And if you listen to my story after the break, you'll find out where this spark came from.
You're listening to Digital Dynamite on DS106 Radio. Have we sparked any creative dynamite in you? Let us know on Twitter using the hashtag DS106 Radio. We'd love to hear it.
Amber, you better stop watching so much cartoons. You're gonna go blind. My mother would constantly tell me as a child. Aside from the fact that my vision did worsen over the years, she thought I'd wasted my time watching the screen. Watching? In my vocabulary, watching something means you're emptily staring at it, as if it's gonna do a trick or something. Honestly, anyone can sit on their butt, open a nice, cool, refreshing beverage, and mind-numbingly stare at a TV for hours. What my mom didn't understand was that I wasn't watching the TV at all. I was listening to every sound, every voice, every word that came out of a character's mouth. Saturday mornings, before school, after school, bedtime. Every time was cartoon time for me. Up until now, I was puzzled as to why cartoons interested me so much. Was it the flashy animation, the zany music, or maybe the exceptional episode plots? Finally, the reason hit me when I was in the fourth grade. One day at recess, a few of my friends and I were pretending to be Powerpuff Girls. You know, those 3 kindergartners who fight evil. One of the girls decided to be Blossom, while the other one wanted to be Bubbles. I asked the girl who was playing Blossom why I couldn't be Blossom, and she just laughed and said,
"You have to be Buttercup because you sound like a boy like she does."
As both girls were laughing at me because of my voice, I strangely didn't get upset at all. Instead, I smiled, flexed my non-existent muscles, and yelled,
"Grr, I'm Buttercup! I'm the roughest, toughest Powerpuff Girl ever! Come on, girls, let's kick some butt!"
The girls cheered and told me that I sounded just like her. It was then that I realized I enjoyed imitating the silly voices found in cartoons. I began making other kids in my class laugh at my impressions. I was honestly surprised that they were enjoying my little performance. These same kids in the past would laugh at me because I sounded boyish. But this time, they weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. It felt nice.
Now, let's hear about Watkins and her swift and legible handwriting.
I know it seems simple, but I've spent years honing my handwriting. My interest in handwriting is rooted in third grade, when I was taught cursive. Cursive writing, if you don't know already, is derived from when pens dictated the use of long flowing strokes with no abrupt changes in direction, such as dip pens and their ancestor the quill, the sharpened feather, or papyrus strip. No, they weren't papyrus strips, they were reeds, pointy reeds. The technology of the writing instrument affected the technique of its use, even after the tools changed. How much I disliked the imposition of learning cursive. The habits of careful writing imparted to me at that age have been invaluable when applied to my own study of handwriting. After analyzing the way I wrote words and formed letters, I realized I could create muscle memory of writing habits so I could write quickly and legibly with very little effort. In this study, I became mindful of the starting and ending points of each letter. With modern writing instruments that don't balk at being lifted, pushed, or flicked, the conventions of cursive taught to me no longer made sense. Instead of focusing on connecting letters, which gets less legible the faster you write, everything just goes... It's possible to flick some letters upward.
Five, four, three, two, one. Digital Dynamite.
Hey there, this is Foxy from Digital Dynamite. So what does it mean to be dynamite? Well, the way we see it, it describes someone who's driven by a certain spark they've had in their life. This spark was an inspiration that later became an explosion. Instead of destruction, passion and determination were the outcome. So what makes you dynamite? We're listening Digital Dynamite, only on DS106 Radio.
While practicing quick and legible writing habits, slowly dawned on me that writing is a subtle kind of drawing. All drawing is marks on a surface. Sometimes the marks are marshaled into an organization that references illusionistic space. But other times they just act like symbols. Letters are one kind of symbol that can be interpreted to absorb some of the meaning left by the mark maker. Practicing writing has made me a better artist. Well, at least a more thoughtful artist. Because of my interest in writing, a year ago, after much research into writing utensils, I found the perfect pen for my habits and personality. This pen. It's a fountain pen. The kind of pen that's the grandfather of the modern disposable pen. The first kind of pen to have the ink on the inside. Mostly. I feel eco-friendly whenever I refill my Conrad Flex, because a plastic pen isn't going to a landfill. I just get my hands covered in ink. Conrad has affected how I draw. I no longer need multiple pens to achieve line variety. I used to have one for skinny lines, one for fat lines, and one for filling in dark areas. But now, I can do it all with one pen. The fine, delicate lines, the fat, bold lines, swirly lines of varying weight, even filling in big dark areas with scribbles or hashing. Conrad can do it all because of his flexible nib. I love drawing. I love sketching, writing, doodling. But don't ever call me a drawer. I'm an artist, not a place to put socks.
If fourth grade was where the interest started, when was I officially introduced to voice acting? When I was 13 years old, I was asked by one of my online friends to play a voice role in one of their animation projects. I was a bit scared at first, still trying to dust off the fact that others had made fun of me before. What if my voice sounds dumb and I ruin his animation? Ugh, I kept thinking. However, my friend reassured me that everything would be fine, and that this was just for fun. So after this little pep talk, I decided to give it a try. He sent me a script and I was off. After voicing everything on the script, I sent him my audio, and he said it sounded awesome. I didn't believe him, though. I mean, I'd never voice acted in my life for anyone up until then. At least not in an actual animation. A week later,
He said he'd finished animating the cartoon, and it was already up on YouTube. I really didn't want to see it, since I thought I'd sounded horrible when I recorded. But he shoved the video link in my face and said, "Just watch it!" So I opened the link and prepared for the worst.
Nuh-uh! I'm the better pet, you dumb dog!
When I looked at the video, I didn't want to stop watching. It was a video of a dog and a cat arguing. I was the cat. My voice? In a cartoon? This was way too awesome. Sure, the video was silly, but I was glad to be a part of it. I decided to work with other animators, making more and more cartoon shorts. This went on for years, until I decided that this would be the career for me. I'm totally aware that voiceover is a highly competitive industry to get into, but as I said before, it's in high demand across the country. I want to be one of those voices. That voice you hear at the airport, or at DMV,
or in that Macy's commercial.
Even though I started out as the girl with the ridiculous voice, I've decided to turn that weakness into a strength and use it to my benefit. They all laughed at me before, but guess who's laughing now?
Hey listeners, it's Cha-Cha Chelsea. Are you tired of boring talk shows? Well, tune into the Digital Dynamite radio show on the DS106 station to hear something refreshing. This week, our contributors are talking about how a little strike of genius turned into a lifelong passion. So tune in and turn up to hear how a spark turned into an explosion. The first day of class was unlike anything I had ever experienced before. And walking into class where I had no idea what to expect was something completely new and exciting for me. We started with our teacher attempting to translate our very American names into Chinese, then moved into an introduction on Chinese culture. Throughout the next weeks, I began to learn basics such as numbers, greetings, and basic words, since there is no alphabet in Mandarin. I was starting to really get the hang of writing characters that resembled small pictures more than letters. And by the end of the first month, I had learned and understood more in Chinese than I had in several years of other languages. What really took off for me was the speaking of the language. Being in a class where most of the students had a background in Sino-Tibetan languages, I didn't feel super confident about my speaking skills at first, and often found myself hesitant to speak at all. This all changed one night after the first semester. I couldn't remember what the dream was about, but what was memorable was that the entire thing was in Chinese. It was the spark that led to the realization that I was getting the hang of this whole language thing in a way I had never understood another foreign language. This was the spark that led to the explosive realization that Chinese was worth pursuing. Today I am still taking Mandarin Chinese, and I strongly encourage all students who are lost in foreign languages or those just looking for something new to pursue it. Whether it's through your local community college, a school you already attend, or an online program, it may just ignite into something huge.
You're listening to Digital Dynamite. Stay tuned for more on DS106 Radio.
I started costuming for the theater my sophomore year. I decided to take, I did props for a semester and kind of hated it, but I got to sew a little bit and was in love with that part. So my second semester of sophomore year, I decided to take a class called Costume Instruction, and I was in love. I was sewing costumes for Romeo and Juliet, which was our show. And I also signed up that semester to be a dresser. So I was dressing actors, and I was learning about corsetry and all sorts of stuff. I was seeing costumes being made from the beginning to the end. And I was like, this is amazing. I loved being in the costume shop. I loved playing with fabric. And I think that was when I really found my passion that year. That was just a blast. That was almost 4 years ago. Since then, I've been in the costume shop every semester. This is my 7th semester there, and I'm sad it's my last because I'm about to graduate. But I've done all sorts of crazy things in there. I made lizard suits, which sound really weird. I've worked on corsets and everything from like 18th century to futuristic stuff. I've tailored basic things. I helped make a light-up dress, which was really cool. And right now I'm working on The Tempest, which is my final show, and I'm making a slave call. I made a slave collar yesterday, and that was kind of cool. It was different. I wasn't that great at it, but it was still a neat thing. When you know how to sew, you can do a lot. I'm also kind of one of those go-to people for baby gifts in my family. My cousin's expecting another kid soon, and I'm planning on making her a baby set that's handmade, which will be really neat. For Christmas this year, I got a nice sewing machine, and I love it. And I also have a serger, which is a fancy machine that has 4 needles, and it sews with 4 threads, and it's great. And I can do almost anything with it, and I love it. Sewing's my dynamite. It's stress relief. It's totally cathartic. It lets me relieve my stress. And I can sew while I'm doing all sorts of other things. I can listen to my music while I'm sewing, and it just zens me out. I love it. Sewing is my dynamite. It keeps me grounded. I don't know what I would do if I didn't know how to sew. I mean, it's made it so I can make my own clothes. You know, it's useful. And that's my dynamite. I'm Nancy, and I'm a stitcher.
Are you dynamite? Tweet us using the hashtag DS106Radio and let us know.
Just a reminder, kids, don't play with explosives unless they explode into something great.
Well, that's all the time we have for our show. So join us next time on
Digital Dynamite Radio.
Whoa, that was dynamite!